Hello.
Hello,
Hello,
Michael.
Mickey.
Hey, guys. I apologize in advance. I may have to jump off this call to take a call from the lawyers.
Okay.
Okay.
It's been a day.
Yeah, here
Yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, sorry, I'm just trying to juggle. So, yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
So, Joan, we're still waiting for Joan.
Okay. Okay.
So,
Okay. Okay.
yes. So it's you're still breathing, so that's good.
Yeah, I am. I am.
Yeah.
I am. It's just, it just, today was like one of the most difficult days I've had in a while.
All right. Well.
And it's just, a lot of it's.
All right.
Hello, good evening. It's
Hello.
Joan.
Good evening, John. The gang is all
Hello.
here.
Yay!
Yay.
Hi, everyone. Hello.
Hello.
Hello,
Hello.
hello, hello, hello. So Michael said that he may have to jump off at some point because he's waiting for a call to come in. So let's just
Okay.
jump right in
Yeah,
and
for sure. Yeah. I'm
invite
waiting.
everybody. Take a deep breath with me, because I know sounding like Michael, for us and everybody, Joan, yourself too, it's like we need to transition into this moment right now, because today was a
Yeah.
little kooky. So we take a deep breath right here, right now. We transition to this moment. We're not
God.
in the past. We're not in the future. We're right here, right now. So let's put our full attention on you. Let's get our pen and paper. Let's take the distractions away. Shut off the phones. Tell Otis to not bother you, and Samson too. And let's bring our attention here. So, what has been going on this past week? Who wants to share?
What's been going on?
What are some of the wins? Let's do some wins. Or challenges. Let's talk about challenges, because let's
Okay.
mastermind them. Let's
Okay.
mastermind them.
Yeah, let's start with challenges.
Okay.
Do we have the rest of the evening?
Yeah, we have as much time as you want.
Fantastic. Joan, do you have the next 5 hours? Are you good?
I'm good. It's
Fantastic.
8 here, and and it's going into evening. I can do it.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, I don't want to talk first.
You don't want to
I
talk
want
first?
to
Okay.
Okay, I'll
Someone
start.
else bring us some challenges. I know Caroline and Carl have some.
Yeah, well, I have been having a lot of hip pain and tailbone pain, and it's been
And
going
what pain?
on tailbone pain, coccyx
Oh,
pain.
tailbone. Got it. Yep.
Yeah. And it's been getting worse. Carl's been doing some work on it. It's helped a little bit. Especially at night, like sleeping, it wakes me up. I
Yeah.
have to keep switching sides. My hip hurts. My chiropractor had advised me to get an X-ray, so I finally did that. And
Good.
just after we left, we got a call from the doctor saying that the radiologist called him right away. He wants me to go back for an MRI because they saw a fracture on my sacrum.
Whoa.
The heck? I don't know.
How
I don't know how that happened. I mean,
Yeah, we always ask, how did it ha how could that happen?
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. What did they say, Carl? Insufficiency or something?
Well, they thought maybe it was what they call an insufficiency fracture, which is a type of stress fracture. But
Yeah,
that's usually
yeah.
caused by, insufficiency in the bone, lack of
Yes.
elasticity, which is like from osteoporosis. But she's way too young for that. But she did, over the past couple of years, slip and fell down some stairs. You get the bruising and stuff, it goes away, but it could have caused a stress fracture,
Right.
And now it's just showing up, with some symptoms. So
I don't think there's anything you can do for that, though.
I think a body cast. They're going to
Oh,
put her in
no.
like plaster.
Oh, no.
No,
Oh,
I'm
no,
teasing.
they're
I'm
not.
teasing.
No, they're not.
I think humor. I think she just gave a whole new meaning to busting her ass.
Thank God I had purchased the Beamer mat. So I'm gonna really rev up.
Well, maybe that's what caused it.
No.
I'll take it off your hands for $1,000. That's it. All right, 1,100. You pay shipping, I'll take it off your hands. I know. Google Beamer mat and fracture, and you'll see what comes up. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
Wow. Well, okay.
Yeah. That's where she's at.
Oh. Yeah. How does it affect you? I heard what you were saying about sleeping.
Yeah, it's painful. Sitting is painful.
Yeah.
It's annoying because it's pretty painful. But at least, you know, I thought it was just that my tailbone was shifted to the left and forward, and it could have happened from, you know, childbirth. But you know, that's what I thought they were going to say. But we'll see. We'll see what the MRI says. Just hold some healing energy for me.
Yeah, of course. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This too shall pass.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's because all the weight you lost, there's no padding left back there. and you just sat like on a hard chair or something, and maybe the lesson here is, you know, have more potatoes.
Have more potatoes. Have more french fries.
For sure. I mean, well, you know, air fried ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
That's what Dr. Levine would say.
You're making me a little scared because today I was out biking this morning early. We go out early. And my husband had been on the bike, you know, a couple of days before. He thought he always raises the seat. You know, we've got three bikes, but we both like the same bike. So he raised the seat and he thought he put it down to back down to my level. And, you know, it was a little bit high, but I didn't realize it until I was, you know, well underway, and I wasn't going to stop and try change it because it wasn't that much. But long and short of it is, it's a bike with, you know, with a crossbar, so I have to, like, really raise my leg up and over, and I have, you know, ways of doing it. But today I miscalculated, you know, and I didn't raise it just high enough, like by, you know, a fraction, and I went down. I had my leg up in the air to get it off the seat and lost my balance and went, you know, and I knew it was about to happen. And I landed on the soft part of my backside. But you're giving me, you know, okay, I am not putting this vision in my head.
Yeah. No.
I'm sending you healing.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
I'm walking a little gingerly. Well, I'm getting it up and down a little gingerly.
Yeah. Okay, because I'm laying on it, no?
But I know what you mean about, like, just not finding the right way to sleep for you to be comfortable.
Yeah, so... So, another thing.
And today we're talking about health.
And today we are starting our Mastery in Health. So, this is good that, you know, it's like the paradigms are coming up, so we can recode them in the moment. So, all the health challenges are coming up, so we can recode them in the moment.
Yes.
So, wow. Mm. Yeah.
Well, I'll say something really wonderful that happened this weekend. And it actually, we heard about it sometime during the week, and Derek was going to go because the tickets were pretty pricey, and a fundraiser for the UNCF, and it was all the way out in the Hamptons, which meant now we had to get ourselves out there as well. And, you know, he said to me, I'd really like you to go. And I kept saying, oh, no, you go. It, you know, it'll be just fine. And he kept saying, no, I'd like you to go. He says, you know, you're like my wingman, you know.
Well, is Derek your husband?
Is Derek your husband?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. What's yes. I don't know what UNCF is.
United Negro College Fund.
Oh God, I'm so sorry. Okay. Yes.
Oh no,
yes,
it's
I do
okay.
know that.
No.
It's,
you know,
it's
I mean,
like
it's
sorry,
so
half
Joan, no,
half
no,
my brain's missing.
Not. I should have said so. I should have said what it was. But you know what? He was after me, and I was like, but I went, which meant, you know, doing a couple things in order for me to go, but I went, and it was really wonderful in every single way. It was wonderful. Ran into people, I knew, and it was just a
mm-hmm.
beautiful, inspiring evening, really.
Oh, wow.
And they said this is the first time it didn't rain in 5 years when they've had it. They had it outdoors, you know, with the tents and all.
Sure.
Know. Oh, wow.
So it was a very nice event.
You brought the sunshine.
Yeah. Oh, thank
that's
you.
That's great. No, and I just haven't heard the, you know, United Negroes College in like, you know, a long time. They run ads and things, and
right.
so it's just quite interesting. I just, you know,
yeah,
it's just kind of off of my radar.
Right, because it used to be the Lou Rawls Parade of Stars on the TV,
okay.
raising
oh,
money.
Okay. Got it. Right, right.
Yeah, so they've now gone, you know, to events, and I guess they have a number of different ways of, you know, raising funds. But my son got... my youngest son got some, you know, partial scholarship from them his last 2 years of college. So I'm really, it was a good event. And I was happy to be there, and I think I'm going to get more involved with them as well.
Great.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. That's beautiful, beautiful. Well, that's good. That's a good win.
Mm-hmm.
We celebrate that. Yeah.
I've been involved in a lot of design things, but I haven't done those kind of things in quite a while. So
yeah,
it was good to put myself in another environment.
Yeah, no, it's good. And then you ran into people you knew, so it's
mm-hmm.
nice. It's a good confirmation that you're on the right track there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's too bad it was in the Hamptons. That's horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, really. I mean, I would have subbed in.
Well, the three hours, the 2.5 hour drive, that was a part.
Did you stay overnight? But did you stay overnight?
No,
oh.
we were going to, but, you know, we decided towards the end. It was like, you know, it was an easy ride back.
Yeah.
So we didn't
yeah.
stay. But I think when I do this again, I am going to stay over and just make it a weekend.
Yeah.
I'd make it a week. Make it a month.
Make it a month.
Make it a summer. At this point, I'd make it a summer.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah. Well, I have a number of friends that that's what they do.
I know those people.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Summer in the Hamptons.
Yeah.
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 Good, good, good. Anybody else want to share before we dive in?
No.
No. Okay, good. So last week was the last week in our exploration, our mastery and intention, so living in harmony with your intention, and we explored how to stay in the current of our own life and in harmony with your intention. So we looked at five different things. So first was to release the resistance to the current conditions of your life. You know, release them. Don't, you know, look at them as neutral. Don't label them good or bad. Just release that resistance. The second thing was to notice what you're noticing. It's our first brave thinking tool. Notice what you're noticing, because life shows up consistent with what you're committed to. So if we're talking about intention, focusing on intention, which is part of our goal setting, which is part of our vision and dream, so notice what you're noticing. And life shows up. So where you put your attention, that's where energy goes, your attention, your intention. We looked at recognizing the gap. So recognize the gap. Actually appreciate the gap between the life that you're living and the life you'd love to live. and then use the tool for consciousness to release old patterns and bring forth new. So notice what, you know, we're in that chaotic period. We use that analogy of the caterpillar transforming into a butterfly. And so when you're in that gap, you're no longer a caterpillar and you're not yet a butterfly. And so recognize that, you know, recognize that. Distinguishing the between fact and truth. So we don't deny the facts, we just deny their power. The power of the facts to define you or your future. So when we got this news about this fracture, we said, okay, we're not going to define it as good or bad, we're just fact, and we're not going to deny that fact. You know, we'll take action steps around it, but we're going to deny their power. We're not going to let that change the course of what we're working on or our intentions. And then lastly, we said to put your life in harmony with your intention. So, and that's what we do in dream building, is we be the person you imagine yourself to be. Actually put it on, because that's that vibration. It's putting on, being in that vibration, being in that magnetic field, being that person. And that's what that's what's going to draw the resources. That's what's going to draw your dream to you. As you move toward it, it moves toward you. Time and space collapse. And so we looked at that, living in harmony, making it a lifestyle, living in harmony with your intention. And so last week I invited you to rewrite your story by taking a favorite picture of yourself and writing a caption of the person you've become. Actually, you know what? I just realized I'm actually reading from the wrong... No, I am reading from the right notes. I have the right notes. And write a caption of the person you become. So did anybody have any experience with that? You know, did you have fun with it? You know, what were some of the captions you wrote? You know, because it's like you look at a picture from yourself 20, 25 years ago, and then you write excited, oh, this is the person I'm going to become, you know, or I am now. And so it's an exercise of using memory to go back, and then we can do that same exercise moving forward.
Well, you know what? I liked who I was. Well, more than 20 years ago.
Yeah.
High school days and stuff. I liked who I was. You know, I was pretty curious and enthusiastic and, you know, interested in a lot of different things. So I liked that person.
And so that person became you, right? So at that time there was probably foundational or, you know, lessons that you were learning, you know,
mm-hmm.
qualities, characteristics of yourself. And I'm sure you still like yourself, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you know what? Doing this work has put me back in touch with that part of myself.
Ah, your authentic
yeah.
self. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's interesting because, like, in the traditional medicine of India, it's called Ayurvedic medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And so the concept is like we're born with a certain essence. We're born with our authentic self. And then what happens over time is life starts to layer over that, like layers of onions. And then we get out of balance and, you know, we have health challenges and different things that happen. And so with Ayurvedic medicine, the goal is to start to peel back these layers to get back
mm-hmm.
to your authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
And let your authentic self, and you remind yourself of your authentic self and those characteristics and the things you really love about yourself, because that's going to put you in harmony with the life you would love to live or the things you love about life and about yourself. And so that it aligns it. It aligns it. And I think
yeah.
that, you know, and that's going to segue nicely into today's discussion about health, because we're to be in alignment with our authentic self of who we are, is that's where true health lies. It's when we get off track or get pulled or life layers things on us that aren't even ours, that pulls us off the path of our authentic self, or it shades it, covers it, it, you know, skews it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that you that you noticed that. So that's good. That's good. So this month we are is the mastery in health. So it's week one, and this week is being called being in harmony with your authentic self. So it's a, like I said, it's a beautiful segue how that worked. So mastery of health and well-being. We're going to work toward an understanding of what it means to be more in alignment with the self where our true sense of well-being originates, and then how to live more in harmony with that. This is health and well-being month, so being that person. It's not health and well-doing month. There's a difference there. We're human beings. We're not human doings, but we often are doing. It's a practice of being in a healthy alignment with your authentic self. So it's really interesting that you said, oh, I liked that person that I was back then. That was part of your authentic self, and those traits, those qualities, those characteristics are still there. And I'm sure they've blossomed even more, and they've fed you and have grown you. So in the early 1900s, we're going to talk about Napoleon Hill and Andrew Carnegie. And so in the early 1900s, Andrew Carnegie commissioned Napoleon Hill to study successful people. And he wanted him to identify the core principles of what makes a person successful. And he was initially looking at patterns of success in the area of finance and material success, because that's, he was a businessman. But over time, what he discovered was 17 components of wealth, and the number one component of wealth that was across the board, and I think he interviewed over the years that it was close to like 25,000 people or 2,500 people. It's a lot of people. So, but the number one component of wealth across the board, hundreds and hundreds of people interviewed who lived lives that most of us would say were extremely financially successful, they would say that the number one attribute of wealth is peace of mind. Peace of mind. And the number two attribute was physical vitality. Right? So if you don't have, just like in our magic world, if you don't have your health, we often say this, if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. That's your physical support system, right? Your physical, love that word, vitality, right?
Yes.
And peace of mind. So, I mean, it's two of the three healths that Mr. Oshiro talks about. And it doesn't matter how much money you have, or how many things you have, or how many opportunities you have, if you don't have peace of mind and a body temple with which to experience your opportunities, your life will be muted. It'll be muted. No matter how much you have going on around you, if you have to deal with your health all the time, if you don't have that physical vitality, then life is muted because it's taken up. Your attention, your intention, your energy is being taken up by that. So we're going to look at several things, several different ideas and discussions here. The first is recognizing dis-ease. So if you think of, we talked about ease and flow in life, right? It's peace of mind. It's, the image of ease comes. But so dis-ease comes from being out of harmony with your life force. That's what dis-ease means. It's you're out of your discourse, right? So enough emotional dis-ease will pattern in the physical system as physical dis-ease. So in a lot of the traditional medical systems around the world, Ayurvedic in India, traditional Chinese medicine, the Native American, on and on in these different native tribes and native peoples around the world, they recognize that we are not just physical beings. We have energetic components. Even the Bible talks about three layers of us, our spirit, our soul, and our bodies. And so oftentimes, and it really ties into a lot of the stuff that I've been really diving deep and studying lately, is this disease, of happening in our subconscious, happening in our spiritual life, happening in our emotional life. And by the time, it's just like if somebody gets cancer, let's say, by the time it manifests physically, it's already been on those other levels. It starts on those levels. And oftentimes, like with the work of Louise Hay and a lot of others, it starts on an emotional level. And there's correlations to that. So if those people have a lot of anger, or they have a lot of this, or you know, it'll dis-ease manifests different ways. And so the physical system bears witness to what's going on in our internal system, which is our soul force. So what's happening spiritually? What is happening emotionally? What's happening mentally? Because by the time it manifests physically, it's already in those other layers. It's already been happening for a while. And they even say, like, by the time cancer, you know, cancer just doesn't happen overnight. It's been there for years. It's been manifesting for years on other layers. So we have to recognize disease. It's like ahead of time. So notice what you're noticing. What do you notice in your spiritual life? What are you noticing in your emotional and mental life? You know, just like stress, you know, stress is a killer. And so there's only so long that you can burn the candle at both ends before the system is going to break down. It's going to manifest physically. So that's the first thing. It's like recognizing disease. Notice what you're noticing, but be really in tune. I was one time I was doing, I was early on in my massage practice, and I was still building a list and building clients. And there was this street fair that was happening in New York City. I forget where it was, on the Upper West Side or something. And I had brought my massage chair. I guess it was the block that friends were on. And so I was, you know, doing some, you know, just giving some free samples on a chair. And I remember this, it was an Asian couple, and the guy looked like a bodybuilder. I mean, the guy was just like, you know, he worked out. And he gets on the chair first, and he had an Asian girlfriend. I think they were Chinese. And he gets on the, and I'm like, you know, working on his back and this and that. And he's like, oh, that hurt, you know, it's like it's tender there, this and that. And he was much more in tune with his body. And I had to actually lighten up on the force, the touch that I was using on him, even though he was this massive, muscular guy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he gets up, thanks, oh, I feel so good. And then she gets on, and she's this petite, you know, normal size, not a bodybuilder or anything, not cut up, but just, you know, she gets on the chair, and I start working on her back, you know, working with my elbow, and she goes, I can't feel anything. She goes, you got to go harder. And so I go a little bit deeper, and you know, we're using my body, you know, body mechanics, and, you know, and here I'm putting pretty good weight onto my elbow, which is a pretty, you know, it's like a large thumb. But it's pretty pointed, right? And so when you, if you put, you know, how much pressure per square inch is going onto that area? And I'm leaning in. She goes, I can't feel it. I'm working up and down her spine. She goes, harder, harder. I can't feel it. And here I'm thinking, if I go, I'm 6'2", 200 pounds. If I go any harder, I'm going to go through her. I mean, that's how much pressure I was putting on it. And I didn't want to, like, rip her tissue. I didn't want to break bone. But she was so disconnected from her body.
Yeah.
So disconnected that she just did not even feel the pressure that I was, you know, putting onto her along her spine and into her, the muscles in her back. So she was just so, it was just like striking to me how out of touch she was with her body. And that's not a good thing, right? Because we want to notice. We don't want to be hypersensitive, right? When it's like every little sneeze or cough or, you know, you don't want to be, you know, a hypochondriac. But notice what we're noticing, because we know ourselves better than anybody else, because we know our internal environment. We live in us. We live, you know, our body lives within us. So that's the first, recognizing disease. The second point is being in harmony with your authentic self. So that was interesting. You found this picture, and you looked at this picture, Joan, and you were like, I love myself at that time. You know, this is who I am. This is my authentic self. You know, So well-being, this is the point, the well-being comes from being in harmony with your authentic self. So if we're doing something that somebody else wanted us to do, our parents wanted us to do, our grandparents wanted us to do, our boss wants us to do, or, you know, our business partner wants us to do, our partner wants us to do, and if it's out of alignment with our authentic self, we're going to feel that disease, that we're going to feel that, you know, that's not in alignment. And I know so many people that they live that way, you know. And I think we often do, and I know this is part of what I'm learning with myself, you know, the way I grew up, my father's very authoritarian, and he had a very strong, he has a very strong personality, and things just like, when he says something, you had to do it, whether you liked it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it oftentimes not in alignment with who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that, and that's learned, it becomes programmed, and then that's carried forward. So then my decision-making process as a young adult going into adulthood is now, you know, and I often say I was seeing myself or life through his eyes, the lenses
mm-hmm.
of his eyes. And so that skewed my decision-making process. What's good for my authentic self? So, you know, and that was a process to first of all recognize it or learn what that is, and then to reprogram that. So,
yeah.
has anybody experienced that when you notice, like, whoa, I'm really doing this because this is what my mother wanted me to do, or this is what my father wanted
mm-hmm.
me to do, and this is not what I want to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to an audio earlier, and he talked about that, like, you know, doing what your parents wanted for young people, doing what your parents wanted you to do, like, you know, oh my, you know, like when I was younger, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do in college. I know I should go to college. You know, and I was curious about a lot of things, but my dad was like, he pushed me into to become an electrical engineer. It's like, all right, I'm curious about it, but it's not something that I love. And so I did it almost out of obligation or out of, you know, it's like peer pressure, parental pressure.
Yeah.
You know? And I think
yeah.
that happens a lot, you know?
Oh, it does. It does. You know, you really, I think when you find that child who, well, first of all, if you have the when you have a parent who, you know, like, what's the word, supports you being who you are, that's a huge thing, huge. And then that child, like, you know, like the story you were telling us, who's willing to stand up at some point and say, no, this is not me, that's huge. That's a huge, you know, a huge affirming statement about themselves. You know, I think about my own experience. I think about, you know, nieces who I saw. I had a very, very, very strong mother as well. Very. She was, like, totally in charge. Everybody used to say she could have been in the, you know, general in the military.
Yeah.
But very loving, but very much in charge.
Yeah.
And so for anybody to, like, you know, make that statement, and, you know, but for me it was like, I just have to. But really, you know, and I saw, like, other family members who made that same statement, but then to realize that you don't have to have that. Like I've been very different with my sons. You know, as a matter of fact, I've said to them, I have no idea when they were, like, you know, 18, 17. We have no idea what the world's going to be like when you're adults and you know, in your 30s and 40s. You know, so we can't be, you know, defining everything for you. We can support you. We can, like, you know, guide you. We can be your friend and all of those kind of things. But we don't know.
Yeah. I mean, and I think every parent wants their child to be successful and to be happy.
Yeah.
And so, like, let's say if a child wants to go into the arts and that's, you know, that's what they want to do. But the parents
mm-hmm.
like, no, you should be a doctor, or, you know, go into something that's going to make you the money. And
yeah.
the child does that, but it's not fulfilling to them. At some point, they're gonna run into that pit. They're gonna fall into that pit, and
mm-hmm.
they're gonna have to shift. They're gonna have to change. They're gonna have to transform. And you see people. I've known people that they lived their whole careers that way.
Yeah.
You know. And then they retire, and it's just like, well, that's just, it's not the life I wanted, but that's the life that I have.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And so it's really about being authentic, being, you know, true to your authentic self, and that's what's going to give you fulfillment. And giving you fulfillment, because how do you measure success? Everybody measures success differently. Could be monetary, could be financial, but what about happiness? What about serving? What about helping others? What about, you know, causes? What about, you know, love and relationships or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not in alignment with that, then disease is going to creep in. And then, you know, you're going to look for escapes. You're going to look to fill that gap with other things. And I think we see that a lot with the consumerism. Like, I want to buy this because it's going to make me feel better. And then you get that thing, and we've all experienced it. And then it's like the anticipation of getting it was actually more exciting than actually getting it. And then it's like, okay, well, that didn't do it. What else? You know, what else? Should I go over here? Should I party here? Should I try this? Should I, you know, whatever. So I think this is all in, you know, if we stay in harmony with our authentic self, we are fulfilled. Our souls are fulfilled, and we're not seeking to fill a hole. You're living that. And so if you want to increase your sense of well-being and in peace of mind, well-being by being in alliance with yourself so that you feel good in your own skin and you feel good being yourself. So well-being is not based on your body being a certain size or shape. It's about you being in harmony with you, because that you doesn't gauge itself by the number on the scale. That you doesn't gauge itself by the size of a piece of clothing you buy. And it really struck me. It was interesting because I had seen recently, I don't know if you know who Lizzo is, right? She's a...
Of course.
Lizzo, right? I love Lizzo.
Are you kidding? I love her.
And I saw she did an interview with Trevor Noah. And I had never seen her interviewed before. I heard her music, right? And and she, you know, she's a heavy-set black woman. But she
She does the hair toss. She goes, the hair toss, check your nails.
Check your nails,
you know,
the whole thing.
The man doesn't want you, you know, get your fine ass out the door.
Exactly, exactly.
I mean, I love her.
And she has no issue whatsoever with her body. She is, this is who I am, and I am in love with myself, and I accept myself. And because
she's
of that, and she's gorgeous, and she's funny, and she's talented, and it's just like, you know, and sexy, you know, because she's being her authentic self, and not like trying to hide it. And then some people try to body shame her, and she's like, not taking any.
I can't believe, with all due respect, I can't believe you know who Lizzo is.
Who, me?
That's shocking to me, Carl. Yes.
No, I have a 19-year-old daughter.
Oh, okay,
all
okay,
of my
work. All right.
See, the thing is growing up, like our girls were very educated in a very wide array of wide genres, many, many genres of music.
Mm-hmm.
And now
she's
getting into alternative stuff. So she's now she becomes the teacher and I'm the student. And so like when we're on road trips and like we say, oh, we're playing, Sophia's going to play some of her weird music. But some of the stuff I absolutely love.
Yeah.
Absolutely love. And I'm learning, you know. It's like I'm not tuned into that world except through, you know, what she's teaching us. And I literally put it on Echo, on Alexa, and I'll put, you know, her playlists and, you know, and that. I'm like, this is great. This is great.
Yeah, that's what I do with my sons as well. You know, if I'm in a car with them, you know, now it's not that often, but, you know, they'll start playing, and I'm going to ask them, who is that, you know, and I want to learn.
Yeah. I mean, some of the stuff is really weird and off the chain for me, but some of the stuff, like, you know, like Lizzo you know, all these, you know, Child Gambino and all of this. I mean, yes, Michael, I know who he is, too. So anyway.
No, I'm just shocked. I love that. I mean, you know, I love that, Carl. I think that's fantastic. I mean, I'm like, you know.
So I didn't know about Lizzo, but I went and I just looked her up, and I'm going to be listening to her music.
Oh yeah, and it's interesting because she's classically trained as a flautist. She plays the flute, and she hid that part of herself because she came her entree into the world was as a rapper. And, you know, playing the flute, that's like nerds, right? Nerds play flutes. Rappers don't play flutes. And she talks about that in that interview with Trevor Noah. And she said, you know, that just became part of who she is. And she just whipped out the flute, and people just go nuts at her concerts. So,
oh, that's great.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You learn something every day. I didn't know that about her.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely amazing. So your well-being gauges itself with how much you are in harmony with your authentic self. So if you're in dis-ease at something, look to your authentic self. Look to where are you out of alignment there, you know, and, mm-hmm. and do a little digging. Find where that dis-ease is, that disharmony is, and see if you can correct it. You know, a lot of times, too, it's like I was on a webinar last month with Dr. Bruce Lipton, and he was talking about that. He said, for instance, like, let's say somebody has an issue with their weight, and so they'll go to a weight classes and this and that, and they'll change their diet, this and they're struggling with it, and they just can't lose the weight. And he said, well, the cause of the weight gain, you know, is not you can make better choices in diet, but maybe they were bullied as a kid or mm-hmm. they mm-hmm. had, you know, a rough childhood mm-hmm. and security was the issue.
Yeah.
And so if you don't address the security issue of physical, you know, their own personal security, well, they're going to gain weight to what? To put a buffer around themselves.
Right.
Because oftentimes if people start to gain weight, people, you know, pushes people away and this and that. And so he said, unless you address that security issue in that particular example, then you're going to struggle with that because you're just trying to, you know, you're just addressing symptoms. You're not going to the mm-hmm. cause. And so that's some of the work that I'm doing right now is I want to come up with a process. I mean, we have it through dream building and this and that, but I want to make it even stronger is like how processes to uncover those paradigms. You know, those automatic programs that are running that oftentimes we don't even know they're running. They're just, it's behind the scenes, mm-hmm. deep into the coding and of your subconscious, and you just don't know, you know, what that is. And there's just a sense of dis-ease or unhappiness or something to mm-hmm. really hone in and focus on that. So, because, you know, it may take some people, let's say if it was a personal security issue, you know, safety issue, that it may take time to uncover that. And then once that's addressed, the weight probably just falls right off because now you're in harmony with yourself and you feel comfortable. You feel comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, the depression falls away, the drug use falls away, the, you know, trying to fill a void or a gap, all of that just falls away because that issue has been resolved. And you no longer need to seek out self-medication or, you know, food or drugs or sex or booze or whatever to fill that void, to numb that pain. Because now we've got that taken care of. You know, we're in alignment with it. So,
and then it's that process of bringing your awareness, you know, to something's not in order here. Something's not, you know.
Yeah.
What is it, you know. And then having a safe space to be able to talk about it as well.
Yes, exactly. Mm. Having that, you know, having partners in believing, having safe spaces, having that system of support around you. And, you know, we've all experienced that, you know, all mm-hmm. of us on the call, the importance of that, having that around, you know. I was just listening to a young man who's a coach, and he teaches on different things, teaches business owners and stuff. And he was talking about when he was 6 years old, he remembers he was playing on the couch, and his dad came in the room, and his dad says, you know, your mother and I are getting divorced because we don't love each other anymore. And how that affected him, what he heard was, I'm not loved anymore.
Right.
And so his pursuit then from that age until he was 21 was, how can I feel loved? How can I feel mm-hmm. more loved? How can I feel more worthy? And that drove his actions. That drove, you know, his desires. That drove his you know, and... You know, to the point where he did really well. He got a job at an insurance company, and, you know, by the age of 21, he was making six figures, and, you know, he had, you know, record sales and all this stuff. And he almost died because he almost OD'd on drugs and alcohol
mm-hmm.
because he
mm-hmm.
realized that he wasn't fulfilled. he reached that, he thought that was going to solve the problem, that was going to fill that gap, and that wasn't it. And then the shame that he felt because he almost died on his kitchen floor because of the alcohol and the drugs.
Yes,
I bet.
So that
was a pit moment for him. That's like falling into that hole, and he was like, okay, now I got to keep searching. How am I going to fill this void that I have inside of me?
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, over the course of many, many years, you know, of decades, to finally realize that, wait a minute, my parents do love me. They still love me. It's just that they got divorced. They didn't love each other anymore in that way. But that was not because of me, you know. And so it's interesting how we take things on as children. They're not even ours. And that gets into our coding, and we think it's ours. And so we have to peel that onion back, that skin, that layer back, because it's not ours. And you know, like Dr. Bruce Lipton talks about it, and Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about it. It's like 95% of our experience in life comes from our subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
95%. And he says, like, if you have 70,000 thoughts in a day, and 95% of them are this, or 90% of those are the same thoughts you had yesterday, you're living in the past. You're living in the past. And
I've been really, really working at being aware of my thoughts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's the word? Like, appalled. And at the same time, like, oh, my goodness. You know where my thoughts go and the thoughts that I let come in that I'm not controlling what's coming in. Or, no, not, it's not even about what's coming in. It's like what appears in my head.
And that comes from those programs. I mean, a perfect example of a program running in our subconscious is like when we learn things and we do it over and over and over again, then it becomes programmed, right? It becomes what we say second nature. So when we first learn to drive a car, right, we get in the car, we're like checking the mirrors all the time, we're checking the gauges, we're holding the steering wheel tight, and we're so super hyper aware of everything around us. But then as the time goes by, now we're getting in the car, we have passengers, we're having conversations, we're singing along to songs on the radio, we're listening to audiobooks. So who's driving the car? It's a program that's driving the car. And if your conscious mind needs attention because the brake lights turn red in front of you or something is coming in front of your path, then you know we have systems for that. Our reticular activating system says, whoa, 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 bring your focus here. Conscious mind, bring your focus here. We need more attention, right?
Yes.
I mean, the perfect example would be like driving down a highway, you know, you're running a program. But if you're running, if you're driving down a country road that you're not used to and there's winds and turns, you're much more conscious of driving the car than if you were just driving the highway and there's a program running. I mean, how many times you get into the shower and now you're out of the shower and you're dripping wet and you're like, I don't even remember taking a shower.
That's right.
Who took the shower? You did, but the programs, you ran a program, said, okay, push the button, program, shower me, you know?
Yeah.
And it happens all the time.
Being in New York City and walking down the street, at one point, you know, years ago, I would carry sunglasses with me so that I would stop being having my attention go here, there, there. But it's like I'm just aware, you know, and it's like, okay, you can let your eyes see it, but you don't have to think about it.
Exactly. So, you know, notice what you're noticing because it's all programs. And the more we become self-aware, you know, of that, like you said, you get appalled. It's like, oh. And it's because it's not an alignment. You're appalled because it's not an alignment who you are. But yet those thoughts are coming out. It's like, oh, I'm being judgmental. I'm being, you know, unethical or I'm having these thoughts or whatever. And it's like, that doesn't align with who I am. But where are they coming from? It's coming from programs. And so that gives you the opportunity to go, oh, I don't want that anymore. And so lay down new tracks and just keep repeating it and keep repeating it. And eventually the old ones will be reabsorbed into nature and they'll no longer be there. So, but it takes an effort. It takes an effort, you know. So the third thing we want to look at is working with desire and expectation. So if you think about it, desire and expectation create the polarity that causes attraction. I mean, they're the essence of the law of attraction, right? So desire has a positive charge, if you want to look at it that way. Desire has a positive charge, where expectation has a negative charge, like a battery. It's not good or bad. It's just like a battery, polarity, right? Mm-hmm. Positive charge, negative charge. We need both charges to achieve our desired outcome, right? So these are giving us the charge, mm-hmm. that polarity. So we want to learn to work with both of these energies this month in order to move up an entire octave in our relationship with our sense of well-being. So what is our desire? What is the expectation? And this will have a positive effect on the level of well-being in every aspect of your life. In all those layers, physical, emotional, relational, financial, your creative expression. Right? So desire and expectation. So, you know, let's notice what we're noticing there. And so the life that you're holding is in your hands. Your life is in your hands. And so there's a story that illustrates everything we're talking about here. And there were two young boys who lived in a village where there was an incredibly wise man. And everyone went to the wise man, and he was the most revered and honored man of the entire village. And these two boys, you know, they're 13 years old, you know, and as 13-year-olds will do, they often thought they knew more than anyone else, right? And they were wondering, how come everybody pays so much attention to this wise man? And he just can't be that wise, right? Adults can't be that wise. You know, 13-year-olds are much more wise, right? So he just can't be that wise. So they had an idea about how it was that they could show the entire village that they were actually wiser than this wise man. So they were gonna prove to the whole village, okay? So one of them concocts a plan, and he says to the other, so here's what we're going to do. We'll schedule an appointment with the wise man, and as it was done in this village, everyone comes to hear what the wise man has to say. Because whether it's one person's question or another, everyone knows that when the wise man speaks, everyone learns something, right? So it's like this group session here, right? So they schedule an appointment, and the whole village is to attend this appointment. Then the one says to the other, here's what we're going to do. After we get the appointment, we'll go out and we'll capture a live bird. And I will hold the live bird in my hand behind my back. And then we'll say to the wise man, is the bird we're holding alive or dead? And if the wise man says the bird you're holding is alive, then I'll quickly crush the life out of that bird, and then I'll present the dead bird to him, and we will show that he's not so wise, right? He's wrong. If, however, the wise man said the bird is dead, then he'll present the live bird, and again, we'll show that the wise man was wrong. So they thought this was the most brilliant plan, okay? So they get their appointment, they capture a live bird, the whole village is gathered. The boys walk up in front of the wise man, one with his hand behind his back, looking at the wise man. They say, wise man, is the bird we're holding alive or dead? And now, of course, the wise man, being truly a wise man, looks at the young boys and he says, the life you're holding is in your hands. Mm. The life you're holding is in your hands. And so every one of us has been entrusted to a human birth. And we have been entrusted with this life energy. And once we've been given the gift of life, the life we now lead is in our hands. We've been given capacities, opportunity, and time. So the life we lead is in our hands. And so here's some of the things that we can do to start out our month in health with all the challenges that may have come up already this week. So one of the things, make one new healthy choice a day this week. So one of the core practices this month, well, not this week, but the whole month, is making one new healthy choice a day. Because baby steps will take you all the way up to Mount Everest. So we're not talking about major life changes. We're talking about one new healthy choice. One choice, because life is made up of a string of choices, right? Every day is made up of just a string of choices, one moment to the other. So some of these choices will begin to create a new pattern in you because your nervous system is wired so that when you do right, you feel right. So the number one health is that you feel good about yourself. That's the number one health. And I think, and I've been exploring this a lot, is I think a lot, you know, going back to paradigms and self-limiting paradigms and stuff, is self-love. I think oftentimes people hurt other people. I think oftentimes people abuse other people or they're angry at other people because they don't love themselves. And so it's a reflection outward. It's a reflection outward because they're not loving themselves. They don't have unconditional love for themselves. And so when you are making one new healthy choice a day, you start to really feel good about yourself. And this actually creates an upward momentum of choice making. Right, and we see that as health coaches, we see that when and studies have shown this, when you give kids salad, more salads every single day, they will crave more salads. When you start to eat sugar, like when Halloween comes around, right, and we dip into that bag and we start to eat more sugar, your body craves more sugar. So your body wants what you give it. So if we start to make those healthy choices, it's an upward momentum. It's an accumulative effect. And this is another interesting practice to start, is starting your day at night. Because even if it's even biblical, if you go back to Genesis, right, and you talk, in the beginning, you know, God looked upon the void and that whole thing, that whole series. It says that, actually, I should pull it up. It says that, you know, God created the night and the day. And it was good. But it starts with the night and ends with the day. And it's interesting because in the Jewish faith, right, Michael, when does Shabbat start? It's sundown.
Sundown on Friday.
On Friday, sundown on Friday. Yeah. That's when Shabbat starts. Yeah. So the day starts at night. And so starting your day, and there's a pastor, Caroline, what's the name of that pastor? Remember? Command your day. Oh, Cindy Trim. Command your morning the night before. Command your day the night before. And so to rest, renew, restore, release, and refocus, you want to start your day at night, right? Because that's when we rest, renew, restore, release, and refocus. So your day begins as you go to bed. So think about that. So give thanks for your day every night, even when your day wasn't necessarily to your liking, right? But give thanks to it, be grateful. And it's only when you're challenged that you're growing. So always remember that. Sleep is restorative. So set your intention. We just came out of the month of intention. Set your intention for the next day as you go to sleep. And I'm actually designing a short three-lesson course talking about, you know, consciousness and levels of brain waves and all of this. Because as you fall asleep, right, we're in an alpha state, when we're still conscious but relaxed, we're in alpha. And as we fall asleep, we go into theta. And theta is our first level of subconscious. Theta is imagination. Theta is a lot of problem solving can happen in theta. It can happen in lower alpha too. There's a very creative moment there. But if we set our intention as we go to sleep and as we enter theta, this is really setting the intention, setting the tone. So even if you've got a challenge or you have, you know, something that you're, a challenge that you're trying to find a solution, ask yourself the question. Say, I have this, you know, what's the solution to this as you're going to sleep? Because as you go through theta, and, you know, sleep cycles happen in 90-minute cycles. And we come in and out of theta as we go in and out of these cycles. So, and put the law of attraction, you know, that's how it goes to work for you, right? Because you're setting that attention as you go into that, as you go into that. And so those are the you know, some of the things that we're gonna work on. So make one new healthy choice a day, start your day at night, and I want to tell a story that Mary tells. Mary, after she had her first child when she was 17 years old, and she was diagnosed with fatal kidney disease, she had been feeling a lot of shame around getting pregnant so young, right?
Right.
So I had talked about that other young man who, you know, at 21, you know, just, you know, wasn't fulfilled. So he started drinking, taking drugs, and the shame that he felt around that. So she was told she had maybe 6 months to live. So the night before the surgery, she was going to have kidney surgery, the chaplain came into her hospital room to pray. And the chaplain talked to Mary for a while before they actually prayed. And Mary told, and she told Mary something very important. The chaplain pointed out how much Mary loved her little boy, but also how much shame she had been carrying around. So when Mary was told that everything is created twice, first as a thought and then as a thing, the chaplain told her how there was a connection between the toxic energy she was holding on to and the toxicity in her kidney. There's a connection there. The chaplain suggested that if Mary could energetically put all of the shame and toxic energy into the kidney that was being removed that next day, that she could be healed. And so it's setting an intention. So she set that intention that night before she went to sleep for the next day. And, you know, as the story played out, obviously Mary Morrissey's still alive. And it set the course for her life. So setting that intention the night before. So command your day the night before. And
yeah,
you want to listen.
Great.
What's that?
No, I was just saying that that's really a really, really, really good idea. I'm going to use it.
Yeah. It's, you know, I think, you know, we often go to bed, like sometimes we'll watch the news or, you know, we may watch a show or something that has negative content, right? And that's what's in our minds as we go to sleep. And so what intentions are we setting, right? What are we going to bed with, you know? I know a lot of married couples, they say, you know, one of the best advice they were ever given was don't go to bed angry. Don't go to bed angry, you know, because it's only going to set that intention. Don't go to bed angry. And we want to listen to that still, small voice. The still, small voice is your voice for well-being. You can't make a healthy choice for yourself if you don't pay attention to that part of you that's in touch with that still, small voice. So be part of that. Be attuned to that. And when we practice more and more to be in alliance with that voice in us that guides us to our greater good, it guides us to at least one new healthy choice a day. And there's a new kind of aliveness. So, you know, sit with it and say, okay, what healthy choice can I make today? Do it the night before. Set that intention. And see what emerges in the morning. What is that answer that comes through? So that's part of our life work this week. It's the picture of health. We're in Health Month. So create your personal vision of radiant health and well-being. So revisit your vision statement, your dream. Go into the health and well-being quadrant, into that domain, and revisit it. Read it again. Tweak it again. Read it again. What is your goal? What would you love in your health and well-being? On all levels. Not just physical, emotional, spiritual, mental. And then make one new conscious choice for health and well-being each day. So that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do this week. And I'm going to close with this. There's a quote from Herophilus. So he was a philosopher, a Greek philosopher. He said, "When health is absent, wisdom cannot reveal itself. Art cannot manifest. Strength cannot fight. Wealth becomes useless, and intelligence cannot be applied." It's powerful. It's a strong words of wisdom.
It certainly is.
And that's in your workbook, so you'll find that quote there.
Okay.
So I love that quote. And it's true. It's absolutely true, because that's your cornerstone. It's your foundation. It's your physical support system. And when that's absent, everything else starts to crumble around it. And, you know. And we see that. I mean, you saw it with Steve Jobs, right? You know, had all the wealth in the world, had all the success, but once his health was failing, none of that meant anything. I'm sure he would have traded that all, you know,
of course,
to have a pancreas that functioned, you know. And we see that. We see, you know, people that they push themselves their whole lives. But I always say health is like, you know, it's like a three-legged stool. And if one of those legs is missing, what happens to the stool? It falls over. There's no balance. And so, you know, if you gain your wealth, but you lose your health along the way, are you successful? If you, you know, gain your wealth and health, but push your family away and have no relationships, are you successful? So you need the balance. If you're not fulfilled and have peace of mind, you're not successful. So, any closing thoughts?
No, but I think this is a really great set of tools for us to work with this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, this is good. It's a good month. The health month is really good.
You know, being reminded to hear, you know, to hear that still small voice.
Yeah.
You know, because we're just so, you know, busy doing, but taking the moment out to, it's, you know, or getting yourself to that place of quiet so that you can hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
make that maybe that's one of your healthy choices, right? Just make that part of, that's what I said, I'm committed to my meditation practice. You know, I'm committed to doing it every single day from an hour to 3 hours. I've been doing it. So it's important, and I feel that deeper connection, and I feel that, you know, I mean, again, it's like life. It's not meditation's not a destination. It's a journey. It's a discovery. You know, it's a journey. So.
Yeah, and I've meditate every day, but you know, I'm thinking that I'm using it more like a maintenance as opposed to going deeper, because I know that I'm meditating, but maybe sometimes I'm just so tired to begin with, so that you know. So it's not really, I'm not really accessing those deeper levels.
Mm. Yeah.
So I have to think about, you know, and I think what your suggestion is really helpful in terms of, like, maybe making that what I do, making sure that I take the time out to hear that voice every day.
Yeah,
well, something's better than nothing, you know, too. You know, sometimes I, you'll do meditation, I'm wondering, what did I get out of this? You know, then it's like, you know, just stop. You know, it doesn't need to be a finish line every time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's showing up.
Just showing up. Yeah. It's progress, not perfection. Just taking the step and just doing it and doing it. Just showing up, like you said. Just show up every day. Doesn't have to be perfect. Just show up. And the work shows, the work shows, the work shows. All right, guys. I love you all.
Okay.
Have a great week.
And, thank you, and you too. And
good night, everybody.
I was just going to say, we're keeping healing thoughts of you, Caroline.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much.
When's your MRI? When is it?
Saturday morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's what that is.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, I love you all. And let's set tomorrow's intention tonight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. Love you.
Love you.
Talk to you
love
soon.
You guys.
Love you, too. Okay.
Love you. And
good
thank
night.
You. Thank you so much. Good night.
Good night.
You're welcome.